Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Welcome online and in the room. So glad you're here. My name's Stan, for those that don't know me. And about 35 years ago, something happened that changed my life forever. I received a phone call from my wife. I'm almost positive it was a phone call, but 35 years, who knows, and I'm getting old. But she made an announcement to me that went like this. She said, "I'm pregnant." And my first thought was, how'd that happen? Yeah. I didn't say that out loud. And then I quickly moved to excited, almost giddy and everything, because I was going to be a dad and everything. But that changed everything. It was unexpected, at least for me it was. It wasn't bad, but it was unexpected. And throughout the next few years, things changed. Deanna was about to do studies, and those got put on hold. Little did she know then that those studies were going to be put on hold forever. We had to get a different living arrangement because we were in a one-bedroom unit. That wasn't going to be big enough to bring a baby into the world. I could tell you story after story about over the years of how our life has changed dramatically. When I left the corporate world to go into ministry and then to pastor, and then when I left pastoring to go into mission, and then when I left that to go back to pastoring, and then to mission leadership, then to pastoring again. And I just said that really fast, but all of those were significant moments, and all of them were unexpected when they came. There's smaller events that happen to us every day that are also unexpected that change things up. This past Tuesday, I was planning to go Christmas shopping, and some events unfolded starting Monday night that rolled into Tuesday, and those plans just got changed completely. That means nobody in my life is getting Christmas presents this year, so be warned. And then on Thursday was a banner day. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. And at the end of Thursday, I had this sermon done. And for anybody that's ever had to preach, you know the feeling in the week when the sermon is done and you can kind of put it to bed, although it's never really done till you stand up here and start saying it. But I was tidying everything up, all the extra documents to put it in the app and all that. And then I went back one last time to look at the document that was my sermon, and it wasn't there. The file name was there. And when I opened the file, it was a different document. Somehow, it had vanished. To say I was stressed would be a massive understatement. But things changed. My Thursday evening changed completely because I had to recreate all of this. And, you know, I interpreted that as God didn't want you to hear exactly the way I had planned to do this. So he rewrote this sermon Thursday night. So if you don't like it, talk to him. I thought I had a pretty good one on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. But you know, we all know what it's like to have our plans interrupted and then life take a different direction that we didn't expect. But what happens when those plans and those changes come straight from God? That's what we're going to talk about the next 3 weeks. We've got some announcements made by angels, messengers from heaven, that change people's lives completely. If you miss any of those messages, or if you just are encouraged by them, we want to share them with a friend, they're on our app, they're on our YouTube channel, they're on the website. You can find them if you look, not even hard, but you'll find them. And just share those around. We'd love for you to do that. Today we're going to start with, guess who? Mary. Mary's life was ordinary until an angel came along and turned it upside down. with that announcement. We're going to look at her story through the eyes of a first century historian who had a medical degree. He was a doctor. His name was Luke. And he's writing about the birth of Jesus, and then the rest of his account is more about the life of Jesus. But in chapter 1 of his book, which is in our New Testament, the book of Luke, it says this: Gabriel, that's the angel, appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Think about this. Mary's a teenager. She lives in a small town, a small rural town that was really unknown. It was the city of Nazareth. Nazareth is not even mentioned in the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, in our Bible. It's not even mentioned, so it gets no press. She was preparing for a simple life. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was a carpenter, and Mary would not have been imagining anything extraordinary. She would have been just imagining, just a young girl thinking, "Oh, I'm going to live happily ever after with the man of my dreams, and we'll have some kids, and we'll do all the little things, and he's a carpenter, and he'll build us a nice little shack one day." And she would not have been expecting anything extraordinary. She was ordinary, but God saw her. Life was going to plan. She's going to get married, going to raise a family. And she would have been very happy with how things were going. And then out of nowhere, an angel comes unexpectedly and interrupts all of that. Imagine the shock and overwhelm that Mary would have felt. As Mary got that message from the angel, she would have been afraid. And what we can learn is that when we are scared in life, anybody ever scared in life? Yeah, I get scared sometimes. When we're afraid, we have a lot of different reactions. But what we can learn from Mary is that when we are scared, God's presence reassures. And we can lean into that. That's what we're going to unpack now and see how Mary responded. See, Mary was confused. She would have said in her mind, "What is going on here? Am I dreaming? Is all this really happening?" The angel said, "Favored woman." That would have sounded strange to her. Why is God selecting me? Or why is he calling me out? Why is he singling me out? As she's thinking it through, she's going to be thinking, "What's going on here? I'm just a teenager. I'm just going through life, making my plans. In fact, I'm going dress shopping tomorrow for the wedding. And next week, I'm meeting with a caterer. And the next week, the photographer. And I don't have time for this. Why is God sending me a message right now? I'm so stressed." Because who knows, wedding planning is stressful. Right? Why would God be talking to me? Mary's surprise shows her humility. She wouldn't have been expecting to hear from an angel. She wouldn't have thought she was special and that God would take time to communicate with her that way. Her surprise also shows that she's afraid. The angel said this to her next. It says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Don't be afraid. Now listen, she's telling her don't be afraid, and the angel hasn't even told her what's up yet, right? Just the presence of the angel has her afraid, and the angel said, hey, calm down. It's gonna be okay. Rest assured, God is with you. The angel had to calm her down because the news that's about to follow is massive, and if she's already afraid, she's not gonna cope very well hearing this. Naturally, there's gonna be a high level of fear on the way. Now, when the angel says, "Don't be afraid," we need to understand that the angel's not telling Mary not to fear God. We all need to have a healthy fear of God, a reverential fear of God. The angel is saying, "Don't be afraid of what God is doing. Don't be afraid of what God is doing." There's a significant difference there. And that's what the angel wanted Mary to understand. Mary found comfort then in God's presence. The angel's reassurance wasn't about Mary's ability, but it was about the fact that God was with her. God is with you, and you have found favor with God. So take a deep breath, Mary, is what the angel would have been saying. The Lord is with you. Whatever comes next, you can handle this because he is with you. You know, God's presence brings courage when our circumstances, when God's plans are overwhelming. When God calls us to something big, there should be some fear. We should be scared. In fact, if you think God's asking you to do something and you're not scared, I would be suggesting that it may not be something God's asking you to do. It may be something you dreamed up on your own. It may be something, and it may be a fine thing, but it's a very manageable thing. When God calls us to do stuff, there should be a bit of intimidation with that. God-sized tasks are scary, and it should stretch us. We should feel inadequate, like Moses at the burning bush in the Old Testament. God approached him and called him to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, no, I can't do it. I'm inadequate. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't speak. I can't do all these things. That's how it should feel when God's calling us to do something big. I remember God calling us to ministry. He had already convinced us that that's the trajectory we were on. I was in Bible college, and I was still working the corporate job, and I was ministering in the church and things. And things were getting to the point where Deanna and I both realized that this is not sustainable, and we believed that God was saying it's time to give up the job. But the job paid the mortgage. The job put food on the table. The job was going to make sure that my kids lived and they had clothes. They liked to eat for some reason. And that was the job's thing to do. Should have seen this coming when we went to Bible college, because that's, you know, kind of preparing for ministry. But it's like, what are we going to do? We were convinced that God was saying quit the job. But we were scared. But we were convinced. So God's presence was reassuring because God was going to be with us. So I quit the job, gave my notice, and then the next month I was employed full-time in ministry. Now, mind you, at about half the salary I was making before and everything, we never knew it. God provided all the time. God's presence reassures. When God calls us to something, his presence is our greatest resource. We need to cling to that. As we continue today, looking at Mary's interaction with the angel and unpack that message, I want you to wrestle with this question. Where in your life right now do you need to be reminded that God is with you? Think about that circumstance. Where do you need to be reminded God is with you? And then let that settle in through the rest of this. Into Mary's confusion, God makes an extraordinary announcement. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, when parents do the gender reveal thing about their babies, you've seen those on social media where it says, it's a boy or it's a girl or whatever. Well, Mary posted on social media. Did you know that? Here's Mary's post. It's God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Wow. Imagine Mary, you know, when they're looking for the reveal and it's a boy, it's a girl, it's God. Yeah, she's the only person that's ever been able to say that. A side note, Gabriel, when he announced that Jesus was going to be born, he affirmed two things. He affirmed his humanity. You're going to give birth to a son. Then he affirmed his deity. He said he'll be the Son of the Most High God. He will be great. He will be mighty. He will be given the throne of David. His reign will he will reign forever. His kingdom will not end. All those things were wrapped up in that birth announcement. Christ's humanity and Christ's deity all rolled together. So Mary's listening. The angels just told her all this. And I can imagine the angels got the announcement done and looks at Mary and says, any questions? Well, Mary said, by the way, yeah, I think I do have one. How can this happen? I'm a virgin. Huh. How is this going to happen? See, Mary was a smart girl. She understood where babies come from. And she said, this is not possible. This is impossible. So now Mary has moved from scared to skeptical. It's like, okay, I'm not afraid anymore. I think we can actually have a conversation, angel. Gabriel? This is not possible. Explain it to me. See, Mary actually wasn't doubting God's power. She wasn't doubting what was being said, but she was saying, how? This makes no sense to me. This is not logical. This is actually impossible for me to reconcile. Even a very godly person with mountain-moving faith is going to struggle with this one, right? A virgin birth. She knew this was biologically impossible. And she would also, because of that, be terrified. What about her reputation? Even if this is true, what are people going to think about her? What is her boyfriend, her fiance going to think? Is he still going to want to go through with it? This is a scary time. Would anybody believe her? Well, the angel answered. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary, the word of God will never fail. I love the way this is translated in the ESV. The angel's telling Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary, I know this is faith stretching. I know this makes no sense, humanly speaking. I know this isn't logical. But I need to speak a word to you, Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. Wow. Wow. What we learn from that is, when we are skeptical, God's promise redefines. It redefines our reality. What we believe to be possible or impossible gets redefined based on God's promises, our skepticism. See, God graciously answered Mary's skepticism. She says, how can this be? That's not possible. The angel explains, hey, this is God's doing, not yours. The angel says, what seems impossible to you is entirely possible with God. It just is. He just does things like that. And then I love the way the angel gave her an example. It's like, this is massive, Mary, I get it. But look at your old relative Elizabeth, who is well beyond childbearing years, has never had a baby. She's been called barren. Guess what? She's about to have a baby. Now, that's not quite as extreme as a virgin birth, Mary. But hey, look at that. God can do that. He can do this too. We need to redefine reality sometimes through the lens of God's plans and God's purposes in our lives. See, this wasn't just a physical promise to Mary of a baby. It was a redefining of Mary's purpose, her entire purpose in life. God's promises often require us to look beyond our own limitations. Skepticism is not necessarily doubt. Skepticism could be healthy. It could even be our acknowledging that what God is asking us to do is impossible in our own strength, in our own power, by our own design. How often, though, do we limit God by restricting what we're willing to say yes to by looking at the things we know we can make happen that are well within our capability? We make our plans based on what we are willing to do rather than on what God is asking us to do. I think often we don't step out in faith, both individually and corporately, even as a church sometimes, because we want to keep things in the realm of the comfortable and controllable. What's accessible? What can we figure out? What budget can we manage? What can I do in my own life that can make things work out? We need to redefine reality based on who God is, not based on what we can do. When we look to God, we need to also remember his past, what he's done for others. That's what the angel told Mary. Look at Elizabeth. That's a story you can lean into to trust God for this. How have you seen God work in the past? Think about history. Think about God's word, what we have in the Bible, all the stories of how he's come through in people's lives and how he's worked. Think about your own life. Are you a journaler maybe? Do you write things down? I hope you do something to help you remember what God's done in the past. Because when you're scared and when you're skeptical and when God's saying, I want you to do something that's impossible, look back a couple of years, look back a decade, look back even a week or two and see what God has already done. And then let that give you the faith to move forward. I love this verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I have loved this verse for a few decades. It's probably my life verse. And I actually take this verse as a challenge. It says, God is able through his mighty power working in us to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. I said I'd take that as a challenge because if he can do more, then I want to ask and think more. And if he can do that, I want to ask and think more than that. And it never ends because he can always do more and more and more and more. Confession time, though, I wish I had the faith to actually keep doing that. Imagine what God could do if we really believed he could accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. Wow. Try to think. Try to imagine. Where might God be asking you to trust him with something that feels impossible? What areas of your life need to be redefined? Your reality need to be redefined. Mary was surprised. She's scared. She's skeptical. However, look at her response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. What we learn here is that when we surrender, faith releases God's power. When we surrender, faith releases God's power. Now, is that saying that without faith, we're limiting God's power? No, it's not. His power's not limited, but it's not released without us exercising faith many times. See, Mary experienced the blessing of God. And Mary believed the word of God, and now she could be used to accomplish the will of God. She surrendered in faith. Now, faith is not the absence of fear. We've already established that. Mary was scared. She was skeptical. She's afraid. But it's trust in the midst of fear. She exercised faith in the middle of it. Despite her fears, despite her questions, despite even some uncertainty, Mary chose to believe God. She chose to trust him. And although she didn't have all the answers, she surrendered. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Think about what she's surrendering to. And the angel just said, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Hey, that's pretty cool. I'll sign up for that. I'll surrender for that. But think about the risks that Mary's taking when she surrenders. Teenage pregnancy. She's not married. She's engaged. This is supposed to be a time of her proving her purity. She's risking her reputation. Nobody's going to believe this. Maybe not even Joseph. She was about to be a new mom. I love new parents. Do you love new parents? I was talking to somebody last week who's about to be a parent. And it was a guy and I said, are you ready? And he said, yeah. I love it when they say, yeah. Because I say, no. Oh, they have no idea what's about to hit them. Then Mary would be raising the Son of God, a perfect child. Any parents ever feel like you mess up and you're inadequate? You ever have your kids call you out on it? Imagine raising Jesus. Wow. That's what Mary's surrendering to. But surrendering places her fully at God's disposal. Surrendering says, it's not just, okay, if I have to, I'll do this. It's actually, yeah, I want to do this. You know, when God calls us to do something, some of us find it easy to make that commitment. You say, we hear a great challenge. Maybe even today you'll hear a challenge. And you'll say, I'm in. I'm committed. I'll do that. I want to challenge you today to not be committed. What? Have you lost your mind, Pastor? Maybe. I don't want you to be committed. Because when you're committed to something, you know what you can do? You can decommit. You can step back. You can say, yeah, I was committed to that, but that was for a season, and I'm not interested in that anymore. I was committed to that job. I was committed to that relationship. I was committed to this other thing, but I've lost interest, so I'm not going to be committed anymore. I want to challenge you to replace the word commitment. It's a very subtle change, but significant. Instead of being committed, be surrendered. Instead of saying, yes, I'll commit to that, say, yes, I'll surrender. Because what that does is commitment leaves you in control, surrender releases control. When we're talking about God, it says, God, it's all yours. I'm not committing, I'm surrendering. That means I can't go back. That means there's nothing to go back to because I'm surrendering it all to you. It's you. Mary's surrender allowed her to be a part of God's greatest work, the birth of the Savior. Imagine what God might do in your life if you, like Mary, said, I am the Lord's servant. What does this mean for you today? Well, first question is, are you scared? What in your life is causing you fear right now? What's going on that has you maybe flattened with fear? What are those circumstances? Can I encourage you to reassure your heart with God's presence? Mary heard from the angel, the Lord is with you. Can you just memorize that part of that verse? The Lord is with you. I want you to say that with me on three. One, two, three. The Lord is with you. Now we're going to say it again, only change you to me. The Lord is with me. You can remember that, right? So when you're scared, remember that. And can I encourage you, pray that over your situation that you're afraid of. Say, yeah, this is bigger than me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Remind yourself. Let your heart be reassured with God's presence. And then, if you can move past being scared, maybe you're going to be skeptical. Are you skeptical? Are you struggling to believe the impossible can happen? Maybe it's a relationship that is so far gone, you think that can never be restored. That's in the impossible basket. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe that's never added up and it's so bad now that you have no idea what you're going to do. Maybe it's that kid that's gone astray, or maybe it's that parent that's gone astray, and you think, this is impossible. Redefine your reality with God's promise. When Mary was overwhelmed, when she didn't know, the angel told her, nothing is impossible with God. Redefine your reality with nothing is impossible with God. And then finally, will you surrender? Not asking you to commit to anything. I'm asking for surrender, for you to let go whatever it is that you're holding back that you know God would be saying, hey, I really want you to do this. I want you to invest in this with your life. Will you surrender? Will you release God's power through faith by surrendering? Take one step this week in that direction. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, I feel like I want to give up. Any of you ever feel like you want to give up? Be honest. Come on. No, nobody feels like giving up sometimes. Oh, man. Maybe I need to give up right now. I want to encourage you. When you're frustrated in life, and insert frustrated, insert scared, skeptical, whatever you want, and you want to give up, give up. Just give up. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Pastor's telling us to just give up? Yeah. What if I change that last give up to surrender? When you want to give up, when you're frustrated, when you're scared, when you're skeptical, Say, I give up. I surrender. You're in control. You got this. Because I certainly don't give up by surrendering to God. When God called, Mary was surprised. Mary was scared. She was skeptical. But Mary surrendered. I want you to imagine just for a quick moment. The angel's gone. That conversation's done. And Mary's sitting there processing what just happened. What kind of thoughts are going through her mind? Wow. Seriously? You know, I reckon Mary was resting in God's promises that nothing's impossible. I reckon Mary was clinging to and leaning into God's presence. I am with you. What unexpected changes have come along in your life over the last week, month, year? What might be just around the corner? Will you trust him even when it doesn't make sense? I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you haven't been listening so far, I want you to go home. I'm going to give you a quick little phrase to go home with. And I want this to be your heart. I hope this is your heart and your prayer or your declaration to God. I will trust and believe and let God lead. And if you're saying it to him, say, let you lead. I will trust and believe and let God lead. And if you're going to struggle to say that, because that's a scary statement. I'm going to trust and believe, let God lead. There's a whole lot of ramifications if you say that and you mean that. Love to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now, and then we can pray for you after the service if you want some specific prayer about those things. But decide right now in your own heart. Are you willing to give up, surrender, and say, I will trust and believe and let God lead? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for that teenage girl who trusted and believed and let you lead. Lord, she was a child. Lord, sometimes I think we've got too much life experience. We've got too much knowledge. We're too smart to humbly trust and believe and let you lead. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's hearing this right now. And I want to pray over them. Lord, there's people right here, right now, that are saying, yeah, I want that. I want to trust and believe. And I'm struggling to let you lead, but I want to do that. Lord, I pray that you would give them freedom to do that right now. That you would release them from the fears. Help them believe for the impossible that you're asking in their life. And Lord, we pray that we would just have masses of people in this community and around the world giving up and surrendering to your will. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.